And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and that is brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Dennis working with his staff tonight. Mickey Loomis also working, but taking some time out, filling in for Dennis. Mickey, there's no easy way around a four-game losing streak, and you can go to the Atlanta and the Philly and Kansas City. After that second quarter, things and on top 27-24 felt like things were turning, but just could not get it together in the second half.
Yeah, look, I was really proud of our team, the way we came back after being 17-0 down. You know, we bounced back, made some big plays on defense, had a special teams play. The offense converted, and there were some good things that happened in that first half. Look, the second half, it didn't go our way. And you know, it started off with our first possession. You know, we're moving the ball and had a couple things happen that were of our own doing. And, the game kind of turned right there. I felt like we needed to get an early score and get some momentum and some positive things happening. And it didn't happen. They made some adjustments. You know, we had difficulty running the ball. So I think they recognized that. Did a lot more blitzing, kept Spencer inside the pocket, and they just played better than we did in the second half.
Now, Mickey, how do you view this, all your years of experience and all the football that you've witnessed? Then when you're looking at, how do you evaluate, because no one practices tackling anymore. You might tackle a dummy, but no, you know, you can pay the players a bunch of money, can't get anybody hurt. They still get hurt even though we don't tackle. But when you look at, you know, and Coach Allen talks about it's a short week, we can't do that. And the tackling was atrocious, like Dennis Allen said, and that, you know, maybe we've got to do more tackling drills. But is it about effort, or how do you view that? Because I'm looking at it's a trend that's not good. It's the third straight game in which the Saints have double-digit missed tackles. Is it the individual players? You look at, like, even before the Bucs game against Kansas City, we had 12 missed tackles. And then all of a sudden against Atlanta, we had 10. And then we all know what occurred yesterday. So how do you view, as an observer, and you evaluating the talent, how do you view, like, tackling? And how do you finish the deal on the defensive side? Because, you know, they got to be totally unacceptable when you give up 277 yards rushing. Come on.
Yeah.
Ohio State versus Kent State. I mean, it's the NFL versus NFL. So how do you view, like, all the years you watch, like, tackling, and all of a sudden it's a trend where three straight games we've done a horrendous job of tackling?
Yeah. Well, I think you know, there's two answers to that. The first one's a little more global, right? It's more about the league, and I think these are the, you know, fundamental things like this are part of the consequence of, you know, a shorter off season, not practicing as many times. You know, look, Bobby, when you were playing, you had in training camp, you probably had 60 to 65 padded practices in training camp, right? And now we have 17. And, you know, so in general, I would say, league-wide, tackling is it's not a lost art because there are guys that are good tacklers, but it's a lot more rare, and missed tackles are a lot more common. So I think from a global standpoint, that's one of the real difficulties is how do you practice tackling when you can't, you don't have as many live practices and padded practices that are necessary. The second thing is that there are teams that do a good job of tackling, and we have to be more focused on that. I think that we've been a good tackling team in the past, and so this has kind of cropped up this season and part of last season for us, and we've got to come up with answers for it. And you're right. It gets back to, hey, we have to have an emphasis on it, and we have to, you know, more of an emphasis on it, because we have an emphasis on it, but we have to have more of an emphasis on it. It has to be at the forefront of players' minds and coaches' minds. And so how do you do that? You spend more time in practice. You do drill work. More difficult during the regular season. because, you know, a lot of the time is spent, you know, scheming and preparing for your opponent. But we do have to get back to some fundamental things, because if we don't, we're just beating ourselves.
You know, Mickey, how do you, I don't know, because fans ask me about how can we go kind of like from the penthouse to the outhouse? Everyone's ecstatic. We're getting off to a 2-0 start. We crushed Dallas. We crushed Carolina, and we crushed Dallas. And then, Dallas just got crushed by the Lions. So maybe not so much with Dallas. But then all of a sudden, you go on a four-game losing streak, and now we've lost four straight games the last time. That was Sean Payton's final season in 2021. So how important is this Thursday night game? The question I have for you, because I know Sean Payton wants to beat the Saints. And I know as an organization, we want to beat Sean Payton. So I don't know, you call it a grudge game, whatever, and you friends with Sean, everybody's friends. But, you know, it's like when you compete with your brother, you want to kick your brother's ass. I mean, that's just the way it is. So come Thursday night, I think it counts more than just are we going to beat the Broncos or not. That this is something that you talk about years to come, because how many times you get to face off with people that you know and your friends. So that's why I think this game is monumental, and Drew Brees and all coming to town, all of that, boy, for the Saints to come away with a win against Denver.
Well, first of all, Bobby, there was a lot of questions in that speech you just gave. So I'll try to get them one at a time. You know, the first is, I think you asked me how to explain, you know, four straight losses. And look, I think this because, right, game one, game two, man, we're rolling on all cylinders. I felt like we played pretty well in games three and four, although we had a couple things that, the game against Philadelphia, look, we went toe-to-toe with them and had a really good chance to win that game at the end. And we just, you know, we got in our own way. We had two guys running into each other, and they got a big play, and our opportunity to win that game went down the tubes. And against Atlanta, again, we came back from a couple of self-inflicted mistakes early in the game, came back, took the lead at the end, had a chance to close out the game, and we didn't do that. You know, that happens in the National Football League. The last two games are different, and I think, listen, I don't like – everybody has injuries, right? We all do, and yet some injuries are more important than others. And when you have, you know, three-fifths of your offensive line unavailable to play, when you lose, you know, some of the players we've lost on defense in terms of just the, intelligence of our defense, and intelligence is the right word, but some of the leaders of our defense, you know, not being at full strength or not playing, that catches up to you, and it really catches up to you when you're playing really good teams. And we've played two really good teams in the last 2 weeks. Playoff teams that have aspirations of going deep into the playoffs, and so that caught up to us this last weekend. And look, I don't have any answers for 51 points being allowed, but those were good teams, and that's where we're at, and we've got an opponent coming in on Thursday night on a short week. It's not a revenge game. You know, sometimes you play against the team you were with, and you have bitter or angry feelings about that team. You want to beat them because of that. That's not this game with Sean. Sean loved his time here with the Saints. He has love for the city and the organization. But you're right. It's like playing against your brother. You know, you want to beat him. And we feel the same way. And so it'll be a dogfight. He'll pull out all the stops. And, we have to be prepared for that.
Need to take a break. We'll be back with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints Head Coach Dennis Allen, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. And Dennis working tonight, Mickey Loomis, Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager, with us this evening. Your overall assessment of Spencer Rattler: he was 22 of 40, 243, sacked five times, had the touchdown to his rookie, Bub Means, had the two interceptions. And I'm, you know, after the fumble to Olave, I'm sure because the defense had given up the early touchdown, I'm sure he's going, what in the world? It's 14-0. He'd barely been on the field. Your overall assessment, because I would assume in a short week, not a whole lot is going to change from a Derek Carr situation. So your thoughts on Spencer?
Yeah, look, I thought it was a good first outing for him. And more so from the standpoint of, man, I thought he was poised. He kept his composure. Things weren't going our way early, and it's easy to, you know, try to do too much. And yet I felt like he stayed within the offense, made some plays, both with his legs and his arm. And I thought it was really encouraging overall. I thought that, you know, they made some, I mentioned this, they made some adjustments at halftime and you know, did a lot of bringing pressure. And so that made it more difficult in the second half, particularly when you're behind, when you get behind like that and you have to throw it every down. But I thought it was a good outing. I thought our offensive coaches did a really good job of designing the game plan that took advantage of his skill set, and look, we're looking for more development, more growth in this next game.
Now, Mickey, when I look at Coach Allen, and I've always taken up for Coach Allen as far as, you know both sides of the ball. Like Sean Payne's an offensive coach. The coach I had, Jim Morrow's a defensive coach. Coach Allen's a defensive coach. But you know what sucks are kind of, that ain't good, is when you're in charge of the defense and all of a sudden they're struggling. And then Coach Allen, who calls the Saints defensive plays, that's his baby. And he said, and he held himself accountable, have to do a better job with our guys and have to make sure we understand what we're doing. And he went on and on. But that's why the fans get disgruntled. That was supposed to be our strength of our team, and as of late, our defense sucks. Now, we're outstanding red zone defense, which is number one in the league. We're only giving up 25% as far as touchdown production. But then the Bucs were like 4 or 5, 80%. So that's why a lot of fans say, well, at least we could count on our defense keeping us in games. But it seems like that has not been the case as of late. Now, as of late, I could say maybe the Chiefs and the Tampa Bay game. But that's why they're frustrated. If that's supposed to be Coach Allen's wheelhouse, but where are we trending right now if our defense is going to struggle?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you're right in terms of, look, our defense has struggled the last couple of weeks in particular, and that's not up to our standard. You know, look, I think it's easy to look at the last game or the last two games and say this is what we are, but I think you have to look at a longer period, you know, for that. And we've been able to play really good defense for a long period of time, but we haven't played really good defense the last 2 weeks for sure. And so why is that? Well, you can't win a game. The first thing about winning a game is you've got to avoid beating yourself, right? And how do we beat ourselves? Well, we don't tackle well, we get penalties. You know, we do some things that are uncharacteristic of the teams that we've had in the past. So we've got to solve that first. We've got to solve the self-inflicted wounds. Part of that is playing complementary football too, and not turning the ball over on your side of the field. You know, controlling offensively, controlling the clock a little bit so that we keep our defense off the field. Particularly when you get shorthanded. So those are the things that we have to solve, and we've got a short period of time to solve them.
Now, Mickey, when I look at, because everybody gets old, Father Time, you look at all that. But fans have asked me, they say, boy, Cam Jordan really looks old. You know, sometimes you might say it's better to get rid of a player a year too early than a year too late. But then he's, even as of late, DeMario Davis. And look, he's not the typical DeMario Davis season. Now, you're dealing with injury, whatever, the older you get. And, you know, he's always hit that century mark as far as tackles. But I don't know if I've ever witnessed a game, and I've watched a lot of football, that the top five tacklers in our game against Tampa Bay were all DBs. Well, hell yeah, if it's all DBs, you're going to give up 270-something yards rushing, like Adebo, Lattimore, Houghton, Abram, Alante Taylor. And then it wasn't until you get DeMario Davis and Willie Gay after that. I don't know if I've ever witnessed top five tacklers in a game being defensive backs. And I think it also starts right up front. We want Chase Young to get sacks and all that, but I think He leaves a lot to be desired as far as his run support. I think Brian Brzee has gotten better, but also his run support. I think teams feel like right now, and I think in Sean and Denver, they're going to come in here feeling they can run against us.
Yeah, I think that, look, a lot of what you said is there's some truth to it. Teams are going to try to run on us until we prove that they can't. And, you know, that's incumbent upon the players and coaches and our organization to come up with answers for that. So you're not wrong, but I also think this. I think that, you know, first of all, you don't ever want your leading tacklers to be your DBs. I agree with that 100%. That's not a good sign. But I also think this, too. We want players that are tough, right? And we want players that will go out there even when they're not feeling great, when they're a little banged up or a lot banged up. And I think there's some guys on the field that are banged up, and they're tough. They're playing through it. But maybe they're not quite as capable as they would be if they were fully healthy. So we've got to overcome that, right? That's just part of being part of the National Football League. But you said it. We've got to play better defense. We've got to find a way to stop the run, and it's incumbent upon each person to look at themselves and say, "Hey, I can play better."
Need to take a break. We'll be back here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Mike Hoss, Bobby Hebert, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. So, Mickey, a twofer here. I'm going to Bobby you a little bit. When was the last time you talked to Sean Payton? What was the conversation about? And then talk about Kendre Miller and his opportunity to get back on the football field for Thursday.
When was the last time I talked to Sean? I think it was about a week ago, actually. We just talked about, how this season was going and how ours was going. We talked about some of the things that we've seen around the league. It was just kind of a check-in call, nothing earth-shattering or anything like that. We didn't talk at all about the upcoming game. It wasn't anything earth-shattering, that's for sure. Kendre, yeah, look, we're excited about him getting healthy and maybe having an opportunity to contribute to us in the next few weeks. So. Look, he's a talented player. He hasn't been able to, stay on the field and get on the field because of some soft tissue things primarily. But he's ready to roll right now, and I like his progress.
Now, Mickey, if you you put your head on the pillow a Saturday night before the Sunday game, and if you would have had a dream, and this dream is reality, that we're playing Atlanta and they're not going to score an offensive touchdown, I think you would take that, hell yeah, we're going to win the game. And then you look at what occurred yesterday. We get three interceptions and we run back a punt for a touchdown. You're not supposed to lose those kind of games. I mean, I was like shocked just based on, if you just told me that that's what occurred in the game, I'd be like, man, what the hell happened? How did we lose that? Now, does that come to coaching? I mean, because you have those things. That's a winning formula to win, but you got to close the deal. Like, okay, you look at the Chiefs. They might be winning ugly, but they close out the games. And then we've been in situations in the Eagles and the Chiefs. The Eagles needed a touchdown. We couldn't close them out. We're playing good defense. And then you look at too many times, and even Atlanta, not being able to close out games. But just looking what occurred then, and what we did as far as taking away the football, are you getting like a special teams touchdown? Come on, you can't afford to lose those games because that could be the difference whether you get to double-digit wins or not.
I think what you're getting at here is this, is that then you want to get your team to the point where you expect to win, because when you expect to win and you have those you know, things that can happen that don't go your way. They're just little speed bumps that you cruise right over, right? Because you have confidence and you have a lot of players that that believe they're going to make a big play, you know, when it counts. And when, you know, when you hope to win, and I think most teams are in that position of where they hope to win, you know, those speed bumps become little mountains. And so we have, you know, our goal is obviously to get to the point where we're expecting to win. And I felt like, and we were moving that direction after the first two or three weeks, right? And then you know, we've had some adversity. We've had, like I said, we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of guys missing that are key players, playmakers for us. And, you know, we weren't able to close out those two games, Atlanta and Philadelphia. So we got to get back to that. We know we have healthy, we have a good team. We know we do, and we're confident in that. But we have to weather this storm and weather these weeks where we're not at full strength, and we have to find a way to be competitive, and find ways to win games. And you, again, that starts with not beating ourselves, right? Getting back to fundamentals. We got to coach better. We got to play better. And I believe we will.
Well, you know, Mickey, I'm looking. We plus three in the turnover margin. And, you know, that's why it's shocking to me. Even last season, we were plus 11. You look at scoring, offense, and defense. I'm like, how in the hell we didn't get the 10 wins? That's why I still emphasize to me, and is that that you have to look at the head coach, is that we're not closing out games. We're highly competitive. But it's a bottom-line business. Did you win or did you lose the game? That's why I think fans are frustrated, because you could be so close and so far, and you might say there's not much difference between 10 and 7 and 7 and 10. But if you're 7 and 10, the Houdat Nation is restless, and then they're frustrated. But if you're 10 and 7, then everybody's ecstatic. But the bottom line is you have to win. It's not like, oh, we're competing hard and playing hard, that it's a bottom-line business. You have to win. And it's not just we're in the hunt, we're playing hard and all that. You got to win. Or look, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year because they don't win and people want changes. And so we already got one coach fired in New York. That didn't surprise me with the Jets, how they are. They've always been dysfunctional. But every year, everybody wants to win, but everybody can't win. So 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired. And that could be the difference. Comebacks to haunt you when you don't finish games to have a chance to be in the postseason and get the double-digit wins.
Yeah, I mean, look, everything you say is accurate. Results matter. They do. But I think one of the things that I think good organizations do is that, man, you look beyond the results. What's the reason for the result? And how do you fix the reasons that keep you from winning? And it's not always about the head coach. Sometimes it is, but it's not always about that. It's about a lot of different variables. A lot of things are involved in winning and winning a particular game or winning a lot during the course of a season. And so that's what we'll look at that when the time comes. But the time is not right now. We have a lot of games left, and we have a talented team, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
Well, Mickey, as Dennis said earlier today, it's, you know, in some ways it's good to be have a short week because you put Tampa behind and you start looking at Denver. We appreciate your time. Best of luck this week, and good luck beating Sean on Thursday night.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Bobby.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Jamie Meeks, the Director of Sports Nutrition for the New Orleans Saints. We'll talk to Jamie and about all of the things that go into the injured players and recovery. And it's an important week for recovery. That is coming up next. We'll be back with more of the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the New Orleans Saints. Let's go behind the scenes with this week's Saints assistant coach, brought to you by Rouse's Markets. Shop Rouse's, the official supermarket of the Saints. And this week's assistant is Jamie Meeks, the Director of Sports Nutrition, has been the Director of Sports Nutrition since 2015, and her expertise is a registered dietitian and a board certified specialist in sports dietetics. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. So this is going to be a little detailed. We'll get broader as we go. So 17 players on the injured list today, and I realize it's a short week. And so Dennis talked about, you know, this week's really about body recovery. And so what does that mean? And I know it's probably different for every player, but what does that mean in your role this week to get their bodies ready for Thursday?
Right. And we stress recovery not only just for these short weeks. It's literally every single day. I tell them all the time they are in recovery mode every day just because they work out and train and practice every day. So they're always in recovery mode. But we are stressing it a bit more just because of the quick turnaround. A lot of people think of recovery, you know, just hot tubs, cold tubs, massages, just physical body stuff. But it also happens from the inside as well with their diet. So really making sure they're replenishing their carbohydrates, getting good protein, definitely stressing hydration. Again, just to make sure that they are ready and topped off for Thursday night.
Now, Jamie, I don't know. I have questions. When you talk about a diet and you got soft tissue injuries, or now if you got a broken bone, you got a broken bone. But is there anything you could do with the diet or the you being the nutritionist as far as when you got like all these hamstrings or like groins? I mean, is there something, I don't know, you eat more nuts or some almonds or walnuts or, I mean, or what, or blueberries or what you have to do? I mean, in the old days, we just eat Popeye's fried chicken, and I don't know if it greased the joints. But, yeah, I know. Explain that to me, is that it seems like at times we're having more soft tissue injuries. I don't know, maybe it's being reported more, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, we do see a little bump, but, you know, injuries are obviously inevitable in this sport and in many sports, but we do try to push hydration and carbohydrates key for soft tissue. Really, I mean, there's no way to 100% prevent them. You can really push, again, like I said, the nutrition part, making sure they're sleeping well, obviously stretching and their workouts and recovery, but when it comes to the nutrition side, making sure they're eating enough carbohydrates, hydration, not just on game day, literally every single day leading up, because it does take time for your body to hydrate and rehydrate after an event. And then also just their overall diet, making sure they are getting those good high antioxidant foods when it comes to, I know I sound like a mom right now, but fruits and vegetables, like those are truly, truly important for these guys' bodies and muscles and just overall health when it comes to those soft tissue.
I like raw broccoli, but I like some ranch dressing on it. So I definitely can eat me some raw broccoli. I don't mind eating raw broccoli. I'll do all that. And, you know, Hokie, my good buddy, would say, I don't know. I'm not a rabbit. Give me some meat. I don't want all those vegetables. Right. But, you know, the one thing when you look at, like, actual meals, I mean, is there, should you eat three meals a day or two meals? How do you, like, as an athlete versus, like, a normal citizen? You know, we're so used to a custom culture. You know, you have breakfast, lunch, dinner, or supper, or however you describe it. Is that something you could get by with a couple of meals a day? Or how do y'all structure that with the players?
Right. So for the majority of the guys, the way that I recommend and suggest that they eat, and a lot of them do this, a good full breakfast, a mid-morning snack, then a smaller pre-practice snack since we do practice through that like lunch, that typical lunchtime, that 12 to 2. Then they have their lunch. I'm sorry. Then they have a recovery shake. Then they have their lunch. Then they'll go into meetings. Then they'll have a dinner. And then later that night before bed, a healthy night snack, again, to help push that recovery as they sleep. So it's upwards of almost six meals a day, or if you want to say three main meals and three or four mini meals. And it's just because their calorie needs are so high. And you don't want to backload calories at the end of the day. You want to make sure that it's spread out evenly to help with their energy levels and really just to help with their hunger cues throughout the day.
Well, I'm doing like seven a day, so I feel like I'm right there close. Maybe not the shakes, probably.
We can get you back on the field.
Yeah, I don't think. I think my seven is a little different than your six. I'm curious how you would approach Colin Saunders, 6'3", 325, and what he needs and wants. And also sitting beside him is Blake Groupie, 5'7", 156, soaking wet.
Yep. So the quality of both of their meals are going to be very similar. It's just going to be the quantity. You know, Colin being over 300, obviously to maintain that weight is going to be upwards of 4,000, maybe 5,000. And then we have Blake, who's going to be in the upper 2,000s, 3,000s. Even though Blake is small, these kickers and punters and our long snappers, they probably work out more than half our team. They kill it in the weight room. When they're not kicking on the field during practice, they're always doing something on the side. So they're burning a ton of calories themselves. So their calorie needs are much higher than, you know, an average person as well. So the quality of their meals, you know, their high lean proteins, carbs, healthy fats, things of that nature are all going to be very similar. But again, it's just that quantity, the calorie content.
And you were an LSU graduate, and you were a big part of really what would be the first athletic dining facility at LSU. We used to call them cafeterias, not anymore.
Yes.
And I'm curious because that's the same thing is happening right now at Saints Camp, that the eating location is really, I would imagine, being converted into something that's a lot more than just about food and more of an athletic dining facility, correct?
Correct. That is correct.
And your role is in that is similar, right?
Right. So when it comes to athletic dining, as you said, eating for these guys, it's more of like an experience. You know, they do have a lot of stresses in their day, not only football, just normal day. So we see their meal periods, their eating opportunities as a time for them to obviously focus on their bodies and recovery and fueling themselves, but also kind of get away the stresses. So we want to have a good environment for them, good atmosphere, a way they can kind of get away from that, sit with their teammates and enjoy it. And really the atmosphere and just the aura around them really does make a difference in moods and just the way that they feel throughout the day.
Do you ever have to deal with players and you catch them cheating on like a cheat day? Or so, I don't think you should have ate that. Or do you give them that opportunity? Maybe, I don't know, I feel like I want to eat some good fried fish. Fish and white beans or something. I want a speckled trout on some white beans or whatever. You understand the point I'm making? Or, you know what, I feel like eating a couple of chocolate chip cookies or some Oreos with some milk. Do you let them maybe, okay, I understand where you're coming from. Or are y'all so strict that don't you dare or what?
I would consider myself as the least strict dietitian in the world. And the reason why is because if you do restrict, they are going to go out and get it. They are going to go across the street to Cane's. Nothing against Cane's. I love Cane's. But they're going to go get whatever they want if you continue to restrict. So for us to offer certain things, you know, we do have cookies and brownies during the day. We have fried fish on Fridays and wings certain days. And it really is kind of like a soul-building food, like a feel-good food that they enjoy. And if I do see a guy, you know, quote-unquote cheating, I never make a big deal of it because I don't want them having to, like, hide food from me. So I want them to feel comfortable and, you know, they're like, oh, Jamie, I'm eating this. Hope you don't mind. And, you know, it's totally fine. And I remember I heard you earlier in the show talking about the Popeye's chicken on the plane, and that still happens. You have the rookies bringing the Popeye's on the plane, and I dare not take that away at all.
Well, I have to tell this quick story, Jamie and Mike. Linky Kenny. Remember big Linky Kenny from University of Washington, number one draft pick with Atlanta, then he goes with the Raiders. They couldn't understand why he was gaining weight sleeping. You know what he did in training camp in Suwanee, Georgia? He was going like to the 7-Eleven and buying all these Snickers and all these candy bars. They couldn't understand because they're watching him what he's eating at night. How can you be gaining weight sleeping? Then they looked under his bed. It was a pile of candy wrappers, and they busted him. They figured out why he was gaining weight at night, and then he went sneaking out after curfew, you know, to get his freak on, whatever. And no, he was eating all these candies, and all of a sudden gaining weight. When he go for a breakfast check, how can you gain 2 or 3 pounds of sleeping? And then we found out he was breaking the rules.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. And I always say, like, you know, people always ask, hey, these guys, you know, when they're home, you know, how do you control what they're eating at home? And listen, they're grown men. I don't control what they eat at home, but try to present them with all the information on what's going to be best for their body, what's going to be best for their performance and their career later on down the road. And, you know, we expect them to take that and use it.
Well, Jamie, I know it's going to be a short week for you, but it will be very, very busy for you as well. We appreciate your time. You've seen Bobby and I, so perhaps if you could work up a little program for us on the side, it would probably be beneficial. we've heard a lot about Snickers and chicken tonight.
Well, you know what, Jamie? I want you to make me a recovery shake. I kind of like that.
I got y'all. Whatever y'all need.
All right. Thank you, Jamie. Best of luck. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Say goodbye to Bobby. As always, Bobby, appreciate your help tonight. You were awesome.
All right, Hoss.
Got to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Mike Dettelier, get his thoughts on the NFC South, and, of course, the Monday night game. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. And now we get to have a Bud Light with Mike Dettelier. Drink Bud Light, the official beer of the Saints, back out to the casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. Silver Slipper Casino, of course. And Mike, it's the Bills at 3-2 and the Jets at 2-3 Monday Night Football. The Jets would be 3-2, but they lost to Denver earlier at home 10-9 in what was a crazy, just weird game. And I thought I was getting kind of a handle, right, through six games, kind of teams and the divisions. But we're not there yet. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the thing with the Jets, Mike, they've played really good defense. They've given up 36 points the last three games. And they get their coach fired. Okay, he was a defensive-oriented guy. This is Aaron Rodgers not playing well, bottom line, with it. He just has not played well the last couple weeks. And you can see his frustration out on the field. And, you know, that finger getting pointed somewhere else ain't going to be at him. But, you know, the Bills, you know, they've lost a couple games in a row now. Can they bounce back here? And now having to do it without their top running back. Because Cook is out for this game with the toe injury. We didn't know. We were wondering why the point spread dropped from 3-1. And then it was a late call that Cook wasn't going to play. And I know Joe, in talking to Joe in the offseason, he brought up that he kind of took the offense he had at LSU, where he featured Clyde Edwards-Helaire a lot as a runner receiver. And he took that to Buffalo, and he felt as though Cook could handle that load. Two teams, I mean, the Jets win the night, okay, and they tied for first place. You know, but the Jets have made these little mistakes, drop passes or a pass over the top of somebody's head. You name it. I mean, it has been one mess up after another, but their defense has hung in there. Despite the fact they gave up an early round pick for Hassan Reddick, who ain't hit the field yet. He's not even in camp, even with the team. It's been a weird year, Mike, to be honest with you, with all the injuries, and it's every team has got them. I mean, injuries across the board, and also two of the young quarterbacks. And we got a glimpse of it with Spencer, and we'll get a glimpse Thursday night of Bo Nix.
Right. So let's do that. Let's move on to next week's opponent, brought to you by John Fayard, Moving and Warehousing, First in Service. Denver, I mean, they lost their first two games. They scored 6 points in their second game. Then they go to Tampa, beat Tampa 26-7, and then the crazy 10-9 win at the Jets. Win at home, Raiders, they score 34. They're down 23-0 to the Chargers on Sunday, ended up losing, and they scored in the fourth quarter. And Bo Nix, he has his first pass of the day picked off, and he is the leading rusher, 6 carries, 61 yards. But think of it not as Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, who's eluding, you know, kind of tacklers to extend the play. That cat has been running for his life. I mean, they're not scheduled. He's very elusive, but it's a different kind of elusive.
Yeah, man, I remember talking to Mason Smith, who went to LSU. He grew up on the bayou at Terrebonne High School. Now he's second-round pick. He got his first sack yesterday with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He had told me, man, we played Bo Nix when he was at Auburn, and we had him corralled three or four times. He got away from us. We couldn't get him down, and he would make this great throw, or he would take off running. And he said, we were really surprised how athletic Bo Nix was. And this one guy was played against him, making a comment to me about him that I was surprised just how nifty a runner he is, how quick he is in space, and that kind of make you miss. Grew up in a football family, so I know one thing. You know, people made a big thing about him and Sean sort of, you know, jawing at one another. What? He's used to that. I mean, his dad was a former player, too. And so he's used to hard coaching. And I think that had a lot to do with Sean kind of signaling him out as that guy is who can run my offense very well. But it's underrated, Mike. I'm telling you. Bo Nix, people make a big thing about what he does now in the NFL. He did that at Auburn. And I remember that one game against LSU and talking to Mason afterwards. He was like, man, I hope I don't have to play that little sucker again. Because he's a lot quicker, a lot faster than we thought he was. And I know one thing, they got some athletes on that LSU defense back then.
So both teams come in after tough losses at home, and the team can downplay the whole Sean Payton thing as much as they want, and I get it. This is a guy who brought winning culture to this team, and they'll be polite, I think, initially on the field, but after that kickoff, I don't think so. This is an important win for this team, and to get it against Sean Payton, that much more special.
Yeah, they're going to downplay this. Well, it's just another game. Come on. We know better than that. You can say all that, but you know it means something to Sean, and also to the players that played for Sean to beat him, and they know how he is, you know, because they had to deal with the good Sean and the bad Sean and the 50 other Seans in between, because he kind of like Sybil. He had a lot of different personalities you catch with him. But you can see he's trying to build this team culture-wise in Denver, I think in a similar manner to how he did it with the Saints. And he's not quite there yet. They'll try to run the football. Now, they will spread you out and throw it quite a bit, but I think, you know, Javonte Williams is the type of guy, as a runner receiver, he uses him a lot like Alvin Kamara. Almost the exact same way, same plays. But Bo Nix gives it a dimension. You think you got him, and then he gets away. So this may come down to a big play here and there. And, Mike, most important thing, can't lose special teams.
You cannot. Thank you, my friend, as always. Enjoy the rest of the night. Mike Dettelier from the Silver Slipper Casino in Hancock County, Mississippi. And for Saints fans, get used to it. You're going to hear some familiar names on Thursday night. Little Jordan Humphrey, wide receiver. A.T. Perry's on the practice squad. Will Lutz. Tight ends, Adam Trautman, Lucas Kroll, Malcolm Roach on defense. A lot of former Saints players on this football team. My thanks to Charlie Long, Mickey Loomis, Jamie Meeks for helping us out tonight. It is a big one Thursday. Be there, be loud. Thanks for listening in to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Good night.